Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. These are marvelous words from St. Paul. And he's referring back to, I think it's in chapter 49 of Isaiah. He's quoting, the Lord says in an acceptable time. I heard you, he's saying, now is the time. The Lord has come. Jesus has come. He's been born, he's died, he's risen. Now is the time of salvation. So we don't need to wait. We don't need to think, oh, it's off there somewhere in the future. We taste salvation now. Yes, the fullness of salvation in due time after we die. But we can taste it in a very profound and marvelous way today. And as we're heading into this beautiful season, it's so appropriate that we have this reading from St. Paul. Each year, these readings are the same each year. And Paul reminds us now. We're preparing for Easter, yes, for the resurrection, to experience it like we never have before, but it starts right now. The Lord's not stingy. He doesn't make us wait. He just wants us to open up more and more and more to him. And listen to Paul. Listen to what he says that the Lord wants to do for us. For our sake, he made him sin. He made him to be sin who did not know sin. He's talking about Jesus taking on our sins on the cross, right? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. How amazing is that? Us broken sinners, he wants to make us the very righteousness of God. That's tremendous, brothers and sisters. And so he says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled. Be reconciled with God. Now, of course, in order to be reconciled, we have to first realize that we need to be reconciled, right? We have to realize that there's a gap in between what God created us to do and how we're living. And so that's where the season of Lent comes in a very profound way. Not to make us feel like a bunch of losers. You know, we're not supposed to say, oh, man, it's Lent. We're gonna slog it out for 40 days and then party at Easter. No. We are going to celebrate at Easter, sorry, I forgot to silence my phone here. actually, I was going to be recording this too, but I forgot. Anyway, we digress. The Lord, he wants us to participate in these marvelous mysteries that he has, and Lent opens up this dimension when we recognize our sinfulness, not to make us feel horrible, but so that we can bring it straight to the Lord. He knows what to do with it. We don't. We try. We try to do various different things in our lives. But it often leads us deeper into sin. Because Jesus is the only answer. So Lent helps us to realize that more and more and more. Yes, we realize there's the need for reconciliation. But we also rejoice in the fact that Jesus brings it to us. He pours it out. He offers it to us at every single moment. So that's what Paul is getting at here. This is exciting news. This is big stuff. Yes, we're sinners, but we have a Savior who's going to trash that sin. He's going to demolish it so that we can be free, so that we can become the very righteousness of God. Tremendous. Now, as the other readings kind of help support this message, it's the classic reading from Joel. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Referring to the Pharisees. You've probably seen some of the movies where the Pharisees, they'll be outraged. And you see, even with Jesus, they're outraged. And they tear their garments and... it's kind of a show, is really what it is. And what the prophet Joel is pointing out here is your heart is what needs to change. You can rip your garments into shreds, but is that leading you closer to God or not? If it's not, then you're wasting your time. And we could say, like, are you praying the rosary every day but just kind of mumbling through the words and it's not really, you're not even thinking about it, it's not leading you closer to God? Well, what are you doing then? I wouldn't say rip the rosary up and throw it away, but just you know, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? If it's not leading me closer to God, then it's a waste of time. And so that's what he's getting at here. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Open yourself up to the Lord. The more we rend our hearts, the more we open up to his grace, to his light, to come in and flush out the junk, flush out the garbage that we have in there, so we can be filled with his goodness. So wonderful. And then he's talking about blow the trumpet, proclaim a fast, call an assembly. That's kind of what we do with Ash Wednesday, right? We inaugurate the holy season of Lent. Return to the Lord with your whole heart. Not just a little bit, your whole heart. With fasting, with mourning, with, he even says, weeping here. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. Give God everything. That's what he's saying. Don't just hold a little bit. Don't just let him into a little bit. Let him go into the deepest, darkest depths of your heart, where it's kind of scary, where you don't want to let anybody go in there. That's where the Lord wants to go. That's where he needs to go. Because he came to redeem us, brothers and sisters. Not just half of us, not just a third of us, not just three-fourths of us, all of us, so that we can walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's precisely what he wants for us. And then, of course, you see at the end of this passage from Joel, then the Lord was stirred to concern for his land. You know, the priests are beseeching the Lord, and the people are rending their hearts and not their garments, and the Lord's saying, that's what I'm talking about. I can work with that. You're not closed off. You're not hiding. You're opening yourself up. You're giving me a chance. The Lord rejoices, and he has mercy on his people. Now, the responsorial today is from the beautiful Psalm 51, the great penitential psalm of King David. This is his response to the Lord after his big sins. You know, when he commits adultery with Bathsheba, and then he has her husband killed because he impregnates her, and he created a big problem. And he creates another problem by having her husband killed. And then he realizes his sin. The prophet Nathan has to kind of almost slap him in the face with it. Then he realizes it. This is his response. So beautiful. Create a clean heart in me, O Lord. Create a clean heart in me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. This is the heart of a man who realizes there's a gap, right? There's a need for reconciliation, but also realizes that, he didn't know the Savior. He knew God the Father. This is way before Jesus' time. Realizes that God's going to take care of it. He just has to open up to the Lord. He trusts that the Lord is going to get the job done. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. He knows that the Lord can do it, that the Lord wants to do it. And he's opening up to the Lord, rending his heart, not his garments. So beautiful, so beautiful. And now this takes us to the gospel. And of course, Jesus kind of gives us the template, the classic template of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving in today's gospel passage. This is Matthew chapter 6. So this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about the Pharisees who rend their hearts, not their garments, right? And when they pray, they want everybody to notice, right? When they fast, they make themselves look shabby and look, down, so that people say, oh, that poor guy, he's having a tough time. When they give alms, they blow a horn. Now, you do not blow it. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets to win the praise of others. They have their recompense, which is just merely the praise of other human beings. What we want is the praise of the Lord, right? And so don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't go and tell everybody what you're doing. Give lavishly to the poor, yes, but don't try to cull favor for it. When you pray, don't advertise it. I mean, when we pray at Mass, of course, we're praying together, but in our personal prayer life, we shouldn't go around, beating the drum like, hey, look at me, look how many rosaries I pray, or whatever it might be. That's silly. That's pride, right? That's the opposite of humility, the path that we need to go on when we open up our hearts, when we rend our hearts to the Lord. So that's what Jesus is getting at here. It's good to pray, it's good to give alms. It's not like, the things that these guys are doing are horrible. It's the way that they're doing it. It's the manner in which they're doing it. And maybe the even more important, what's the motive? Why are they doing it? They're not doing it to grow closer to the Lord. They're doing it because God said you have to do these things, so they're adhering to the law, the commandments, all the teachings of the Lord are ultimately designed to draw us closer to the Lord, deeper in relationship with him. And so once again, to the extent that they don't, if we're doing things out of religiosity, you might say, but they're not drawing us closer to the Lord, then we're wasting our time. We have to examine our motives. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And Lent is a wonderful opportunity to do that. It's kind of like back to basics, if you will. You know, I think they're probably starting up spring training now for Major League Baseball, right? They're literally fielding grounders, right? And practicing catching the ball. I mean, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play baseball. And here they are, same thing we do in Little League. You go back to the basics. That's what you do. They have spring training. All the different sports, they go, you know, the basketball players, they're dribbling and practicing boxing out and whatnot. Well, we need a refresher too in the spiritual life, because we get a little bit complacent, we get a little bit lazy sometimes, we get forgetful sometimes. So Lent gives us a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to focus and to really intently seek to grow in relationship with our Lord with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And so I encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you haven't already prayerfully encountered the Lord and asked Him, Lord, where do you want to lead me this Lent? How do you want me to change my practice of prayer, my practice of fasting, my practice of almsgiving, so that I can be drawn deeper into your loving embrace and become ever more the saint you created me to be? If you haven't already done that, and maybe if you have, continue along that path and see what the Lord has in store for you. Because, brothers and sisters, He has wonderful gifts in store for every single one of us, this Lent. We just have to open up. We just have to say yes and allow Him to lavish these gifts upon us and to transform us. It's going to be marvelous. I hope you're looking forward to it. I know it's always kind of scary. You know, we give things up and we don't know what the Lord is going to do. But He's always out. He always wants the best for us. And so we trust in Him. We rejoice in Him. Let us rend our hearts, not our garments. If today you hear His voice, brothers and sisters, harden not your hearts, but welcome Him wholeheartedly.